The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It's another Sunday right here in the Treetop Studios here at North Shore 104.9, overlooking the North Beverly train station. And have we got a show for you today? I told you all about this thing called the Age Lab, the MIT Age Lab. Well, you know, I've told you stories about it. I've told you the fact that I've been there and I've told you about some things that I've seen. Well, today I decided to bring a voice, a person that can really tell you the story about what goes on there, why it's so beneficial to all of the seniors, all of this aging population that exists here in America. And I'm pleased to welcome John Deal, who's the Senior Vice President with Hartford Funds, and he has a great relationship with the Age Lab. And so, John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mark.
It's great to have you here. I know that you've been very much involved with the Age Lab for a number of years, and perhaps you can tell us a little bit about the relationship that you and the Hartford Funds have with the Age Lab.
Sure, Mark. Well, thanks. Yes, I've been with Hartford Funds now for about 27 years, but for the last 10 years have worked very closely directing our research efforts with the Age Lab at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, primarily in the area of aging and financial services. But what's great to me about the working with the Age Lab is they're a multidisciplinary program within MIT School of Engineering Systems. And so you get a lot of different exposure to different companies and different industries. And sometimes I learn more about financial planning from outside of our industry than I do from inside of our industry. So as I said, for the past 10 years, have been looking at trends in demographics, technology, and culture in regards to the way people make financial decisions. And, you know, just some of the things that I've seen that have helped in my own life, helped understand some of the things going on around us, and actually look forward to the future with a lot of optimism in terms of this longevity dividend that we as Americans are experiencing today, is something that I enjoy very, very much.
Yeah, this longevity conversation is really something that is becoming more into play these days. And I know Joe Coughlin, who's the executive director there, or the head of the MIT Age Lab, has talked a lot about this longevity planning, and this whole concept of retirement seems to be this old cliche or this old saying now. We need to redefine what retirement looks like and really think about it as being longevity planning.
You know, it's interesting. A couple of years ago, I worked with Joe on a survey, and we asked, I think we got approximately 30,000 responses. We asked people the year of their birth, their gender, their zip code, because from zip code we could get any of the socioeconomic data that we needed. And then we asked them two very important questions. What do you envision yourself doing after age 65? And if you're already 65, just bump it out a few more years. And you'd be surprised, Mark, the top two answers, most people guessed the second answer. It was travel. People saying, yes, I intend to travel. And what we heard was post-retirees tell us they do travel, but not as much as they thought they would as pre-retirees. They actually spend more time with close family, friends, and social networks. But the number one answer surprises everyone. The answer was work, but not work in the same form or fashion as the first 20 or 30 years of your career. Many times people used it in the context of working for a cause I believe in, working for a nonprofit, working part-time, working in a business that perhaps I've always been interested in, but maybe economically speaking, back when I was trying to raise a family and put the kids through school, maybe from a money standpoint, it didn't pay off, but now might be that stage of my life where I can pursue. So what Joe Coughlin has shared with me is the concept of retirement is being retired, and it's being replaced by this conversation around what's next.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's actually a gentleman with the same name as myself, Mark Friedman, spelled exactly the same way. I don't know if you've ever met him before. He's out in San Francisco, and he has written a book called Encore, and he talks about the encore career of a retiree. And the fact, just like what you're saying, is, and we see this in our own practice, is that clients will come to us and they say, geez, I'm hoping to retire around 65, 66. And then I say, well, what are you going to do next? They said, well, you know, well, I'll work part-time and I'll do a few things. When people used to say, I'm going to retire, it meant I'm done working. Now retirement, like you said, means I'm just not going to do what I've been doing for the past 25 or 30 years. I'm going to do something else, whether it's volunteering or whether it's for a paycheck. I've got to do something to keep myself busy.
Well, and I think the important thing to realize, it's not just an economic conversation. I mean, even if we've been blessed to get to that point where, you know, where my financial advisor, Mark Friedman, tells me that I've got the assets, it looks like my chances of success of living the lifestyle at the economic level I want to are going to be satisfied, we need to understand there's another component to retirement, and that's the social aspect. And for many people, especially men, your primary place of employment is your primary source of social interaction. And so we probably know people who said, you know, in 2 or 3 months, that's it, I'm hanging it up. And it's only a matter of time until you begin forgetting what day it is. There's no real purpose to getting up and going places, so on and so forth. So I really stress to people getting involved with organizations, thinking about what that looks like, thinking financially what it might take to allow me to work part-time or so on and so forth, or how that's going to work in the household budget. The social interaction piece is so very important because our social networks get us up off the couch, out the door, and moving, give us a place to be. And they also keep us mentally challenged with new situations, new people, relationships, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and at 65, 65 doesn't mean you're old anymore. 65, people are feeling great. In fact, I oftentimes recommend to clients when they're in my office to think about their living room wall or their dining room wall where they have pictures of family hanging up. And usually there's pictures from a Christmas dinner or a Thanksgiving dinner, a bar mitzvah, a graduation, a christening, whatever it is. And the whole family's there, the kids, the grandparents, great-grandparents, and perhaps it goes back a couple generations. And I ask them to look at the pictures of the grandparents, people that were in that grandparent role that are up there on that wall. And generally, many of those pictures are even in black and white. And when you look at those pictures, you say, geez, those folks looked old. And then I ask them, how old do you think those people in the picture were? And what they begin to realize is the people in the picture are actually younger when they took that picture than the people that are looking at the picture themselves at that present time. We are so much more active, so much more vibrant, and have so many more years to live beyond 65. That's what makes this whole age lab and the whole concept of what we're doing here so important.
Absolutely. And from a financial standpoint, oftentimes people are using rules of thumb, let's say, that are somewhat outdated. You know, people thinking about, well, why do people say I should retire at age 65? Because that's what the social message has been drummed on into our heads. Why? Because that's when pensions typically began paying out, or that's when Social Security traditionally started, but not anymore. With the disappearance of pension plans, for those of us that may have been fortunate enough to have them during our working careers, many new employees or newer, younger employees don't have that option. And secondly, for many people, age 65 isn't even the eligible normal retirement age for Social Security anymore. So we're using outdated messages, which perhaps need a new perspective. We need a new perspective based on these trends in longevity that we're seeing.
Yeah, we're talking with John Deal, who's Senior Vice President of Hartford Funds, and he's had this special relationship with the MIT Age Lab that's in Cambridge. The whole company, Hartford, has been very, very involved with the Age Lab. And perhaps, John, you can give our listeners an understanding of what goes on at the Age Lab. What do they do there?
Sure. Well, our original relationship with the Age Lab, the Hartford was a founding sponsor back in 1999. And the reason we initially engaged with the Age Lab was in the area of driving and driving safety, because as you know, the Hartford is a major auto insurer here in the United States. And back in 1999, we knew that aging trends and accident rates were kind of running in parallel. And we began looking for the experts at MIT to help inform us on driving technology. What are some of the changes that could be made in the automobile industry that might make driving safer as America grew older? And over time, we've seen enormous improvements in auto technology. In fact, the Hartford actually published something called the Top 10 driving technologies for maturing America, which are available to your listeners. But things like automatic braking systems and blind spot warning systems and automated headlights that reduce glare, so on and so forth. Little things that perhaps we take for granted, but many of these things were developed with the aging driver in mind. So that's where our relationship began, but over the years it has blossomed in many different avenues. Since 2005, as I mentioned, I've headed up the branch of research that we have studying financial preparedness for retirement and decision-making in retirement. But there are many other branches, whether it's healthcare, whether it's caregiving, whether it's Alzheimer's and its impact or dementia and the like. The Age Lab is involved with all of these different areas, which, again, as I stated in the opening, Mark, gives us a real flavor for what are people really trying to do and achieve with the wealth that they've generated over a lifetime.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I noticed when I went to the Age Lab, when I went there with my business partner, Marion, who was on our show last week, the two of us went in there and we saw that they've got this red beetle that sits there in the Age Lab. And I'm sure you've seen that red beetle that's in there, and it's all the sensors and stuff that are hooked up.
Miss Daisy.
Oh, she has a name.
Her name.
All right. Hey, could you tell our listeners a little bit about what happens, what Miss Daisy is designed to do?
So sure. Miss Daisy is meant to measure stress levels and driver reactions to different kinds of stimuli that come in. There's a visual reproduction of actually driving down the street. But Miss Daisy, the car itself, as Joe Coughlin likes to describe, is a $2 million Volkswagen Beetle. Because it's equipped with technology like retinal scanning to see exactly where are your eyes looking when different things happen. Or it measures skin conductance to measure skin perspiration on the steering wheel to see at what times you're stressed or at what times you're relaxed. It can monitor your heartbeat as well. And so the whole purpose being, what if your car could tell how you're feeling, if you're overstressed, if you're perhaps falling asleep at the wheel? And what things might the car be able to do to perhaps stimulate you to even that out? Because driving, like in a lot of situations in decision-making, this is one of the things we learned, again, working outside of our area of specialty, was that in order to be a great driver, we need to be stressed, but not overstressed. We need to be stressed enough that we're paying attention, but not overwhelmed by stress so that we're paralyzed by it. So trying to understand how to make us safer drivers and also trying to understand how we will interact with the technology of tomorrow. As you know, the automobile is no longer just an automobile. It's now an information center. And so thinking about all these new technologies and voice-activated systems and so on and so forth, what's the problem in the car with distraction? What's the problem with working with a system that we're not comfortable with? And so the Age Lab is doing a lot of this testing, not only in the lab, but they actually have experimental cars on the road running around Cambridge and the Boston area, trying to get live measurements of people who are actually out in the streets actually driving.
It's really amazing what they're doing at MIT, what they're doing with the technology. And we want to talk a lot more with John Deal, actually, about what's going on at the Age Lab and how you as seniors, retirees, those that are approaching retirement, can really learn and leverage some of the ideas and technologies that are coming out of the Age Lab. We're going to talk to you more about that. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
No worries, no schedules, and no commotion. Wouldn't that be a great way to enjoy your retirement? Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and Peabody, and host of Dollars and Cents. Retirement is filled with rewards, but there's lots of confusing information out there about IRAs, 401ks, and Social Security benefits. You know, planning for retirement can be downright frightening. Isn't it time you got financial advice in a language you can understand? For over 40 years, we've helped individuals and families like you wade through the minutiae and focus on the big picture. If you're ready to get serious about your retirement plan, let's meet and discuss investment strategies that are right for you. For a free initial consultation or an information kit, call me at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Friedman Financial is an SEC-registered financial advisor.
Singing in the Rain, the iconic musical comedy, is set to make a splash live on stage at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater.
So, good morning. good morning. Sunbeams will soon smile through. Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you and you and you.
Based on the beloved MGM film, Singin' in the Rain is the most refreshing show of the summer, featuring hilarious comedy, spectacular musical numbers, and yes, it will rain on stage.
I'm singing in the rain. Just singing. In the rain.
You'll leave with a song in your heart and a smile on your face.
Glorious feeling, I'm happy again.
What a glorious feeling! Singing in the Rain is on stage at North Shore Music Theater starting August 16th through the 28th only. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Beverly Bank.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Boy, do we have a great show for you today. We've been talking with John Deal, who's Senior Vice President at Hartford Funds and the head relationship person, or heads up research, I should say, with the MIT Age Lab, along with the Hartford Funds. I can never get that title or that relationship right, but it doesn't matter. John is a great and fabulous storyteller. He's telling you about some stuff that goes on in this little corner of MIT that is about to change the world in the way seniors see the availability of technology to their benefit. There's lots of stuff that's out there. We were talking about Ms. Daisy, this car that they have in the Age Lab that really senses some of the ways in which drivers can become more adept, so that they can sense when they're becoming distracted on the road so that we can better understand it. John's got all sorts of stories, lots of things to share with us. And John, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
And so one of the things that Hartford gets involved with at the MIT Age Lab is this thing called behavioral economics. And I know that's something through the research work that you guys are doing that's of great interest to Hartford. Perhaps you can tell our listeners about what behavioral economics even means and how you guys are leveraging that through the Age Lab.
Sure, absolutely, Mark. So behavioral economics or behavioral finance is really about how people make decisions based on kind of the way we're wired, if you will. And so we've done quite a bit of research in this area looking at how emotions really impact the way we make decisions. Because let's face it, human beings are emotional beings. It's not just rational thought that comes into decision making. I mean, any of your listeners could probably tell us the feeling that they get in their stomach as they turn on their local or their cable news broadcast and see, you know, 24/7 market coverage. Market soars today, market plunges today, and, you know, the emotional roller coaster ride that we all go on. But those emotions oftentimes cause people to make mistakes in terms of how they manage their long-term finances. And so one of the studies that we actually, one of the insight papers that we generated with the MIT Age Lab was called Fear Finance and the High Anxiety Client, and its companion educational piece, which was called Media Replay, which was meant to say that, look, when we watch media, I know a lot of times our counsel to retail investment clients is, you know, turn off the TV, turn off the radio. You're not going to hear anything but things that scare you half to death. But the truth is, you can't turn it off anymore. It's in your home, it's in your car, it's in your pocket, it's on your desktop. And
usually all at the same time.
Absolutely.
I know that when I'm watching movies with my kids, we're sitting in the house watching a movie, and my kids can't watch a movie without an iPad open, a phone open, a laptop on their lap. They can't do one thing.
Right. And many of the messages that are coming at us are primarily negative in nature. I mean, mm-hmm. Most people who watch the evening news will tell you it's all bad news. Well, there's a reason for that. And the folks at the Age Lab say it may have something to do with kind of how we've evolved over time from hunters and gatherers on the plain. You see, people always seek out negative information because in terms of our early warning systems, negative information is a good warning of what might be coming down the pike. But you know, in years past, we were looking out for the animal hiding behind the bush that was going to jump out and get us. today, what we're faced with is somebody on CNBC, let's say, telling me I'm not going to have enough money to live out my golden years. It's a much different kind of a threat. But perhaps our systems are being overwhelmed with it. But we are kind of wired to look for negative information. So the one thing we have to be careful of is if we surround ourselves with this kind of information, we basically talk ourselves into a negative situation. The media is not to blame in this case, Mark. It's actually the media is just feeding the beast. If we're seeking for negative information, media is just providing that for us. So one example I always give is, you know, I'll ask groups of clients, who can tell me what the headline was on September 29th of 2008? And, you know, oftentimes people aren't sure, but when I remind them that that was the day of the single biggest drop in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that day it fell 777 points. And then everybody kind of remembers, and I say, do you remember what the headline was that day? The headline was, Dow has worst day ever. You know, point-wise, yeah, it was. Percentage-wise, I think it barely cracked the top 20. But ask them what happened the very next day, September 30th of 2008. The Dow rebounded. I think it was about 485 points.
Right.
It was actually the third best day in history in terms of points. Did you remember reading that headline?
No.
Because it either wasn't written or it was buried on page B5 in the business section somewhere. So, again, that kind of negative bias will lead most of the information that we bring in, and it can flavor our emotional response to investing.
It's funny. Many of our listeners know that I do quite a bit of media stuff as well, and appear on television shows and on other radio shows, etc. And periodically, we'll get a call from CNBC asking for a quote or asking for me to appear in one of those 8 boxes or something up on the screen. And and so I'll get a call sometime, and they'll say, "Well, Mark, we want to get your reaction to what you think about what's going on in the market today." And they'll test me with a question to see, you know, how I might react to it. And they'll say, well, Mark, where do you think the market's going to go today based upon this news? And my answer, a response to them will be, it really doesn't matter. And they hate that. They absolutely hate that because that doesn't feed the beast. And they generally don't invite me back when I make comments like that. But I know, and we're trying to educate our clients that what happens in the day-to-day movements of the market, the day-to-day headlines of the news, really isn't what's of impact to our clients' lives, whether it's Greece, whether it's Korea, whether it's China, whether it's the United States, whatever it might be. But what is of importance is making sure that seniors, that retirees are finding ways for them to maximize their comfort, maximize their experience in retirement, recognizing that it's going to be a long journey and certainly one that can be very enjoyable. And with us on the phone today is John Diehl, who heads up the research effort at MIT through his affiliation as Senior Vice President at Hartford Investments. And John's telling us about some of the great work that happens over at the Age Lab. John, you made this reference to these 3 questions that you guys did through this Fear and Finance project. Perhaps you can tell our listeners a little bit about what those 3 questions are and why they're so important.
So, sure, Mark. Oftentimes when we think about financial planning, we go to the dollars and cents, asset allocation, stocks, bonds, cash, assets, liability, net worth. But truthfully, the quantitative piece is only one part of it. We need to think about, many seniors are thinking about, the qualitative aspects of life. And so the Age Lab has generated what they call 3 questions that predict the future quality of life. And I'll warn you up front, they're going to underwhelm you with their simplicity coming from the rocket scientists at MIT. But there's actually real value in these questions. So you ready? Here are the 3 questions. It's, who's going to change my light bulbs? How am I going to get an ice cream cone? And who am I going to have lunch with? So as we think about these 3 things, the question about light bulbs, 90% of us say we're going to age in our own homes. How many of us have even given 30 to 40 minutes thought about the services or modifications that may be needed to allow us to stay in those homes, if that's even possible, to our mid-80s to mid-90s? The average American home was built in about 1975. It's aging as well as its occupants. And thinking about the services and modifications and the cost of those things is going to be an important part of our picture. The question about ice cream cones is, I want you to think about those small things that make life worth living, be they things around education or recreation, or where do we get together with other people and socialize, or where do we donate, not just money, but our time and our talent. And the question is, all those little things that make life worth living, how will we continue to access them if at some point we lose the ability to drive? Because as we live into our later 80s and mid-90s, we greatly increase the odds that at some point we won't be able to drive. But maintaining access to those things that make life special very, very important. And the last question is, what about who am I going to have lunch with? We mentioned a little bit earlier, my social network. Who are the people I'm going to hang out with? Who are going to keep me active, both physically and mentally? And so giving some thought to the kind of things I'm going to get involved with and maybe giving them a trial run. And by the way, you're never too young for this. Even if you've been, quote unquote, retired for some time, you may find that your interests change over time. But especially, again, for male listeners, Mark, we have to be intentional about those groups we want to stay connected with. So these are more about the quality of how are we going to utilize that wealth that we spent a lifetime generating, not just the actual generation of the wealth.
Yeah, I find that the driving thing is really one of those big things as people age, is that you become very territorial, very protective of the fact that you have the opportunity to have this independence of sitting behind the wheel. And I think we've all seen through the news, just even throughout whatever town you live in, is that as we age, some of our reaction times towards hitting the brake or making some decisions on the road are muted a bit. And there's some issues that go along with this.
What we see happening, Mark, is that now you're finding that populations around college and university environments are starting to escalate in terms of over age 65, because they have a lot of the things, those communities have a lot of the things we desire. They have education and culture, but they also have healthcare networks and hospitals. And they also have, if not walkable access to a lot of the things we want, at least better developed systems of public transportation.
You know, one of the other things that I've found interesting is this whole concept of Uber. I mean, I'm a big Uber guy. I don't know if I'm sure you've used Uber before.
I'm a big Uber guy myself.
And, you know, it seems to me that one of the things that I find is that some seniors are resistant to technology. I think those that are entering their senior years and entering retirement are more certainly adaptive to the technology. But taking advantage of programs like Uber, as opposed to owning a car, it's a different way of thinking about getting transportation for yourself. But man, is it an opportunity for you to even save some money and get to where you have to go in a safe basis.
Well, and that's what I just think. All these technology solutions, I mean, while you're waiting for the Google car to be perfected or whatever is coming down the pike, there may be technologies, as you mentioned, that are already available today that may be able to assist you, especially if things like driving at night becomes more challenging. So perhaps driving is okay, but driving at night begins to concern us a little bit, because naturally as we age, our eyes take in less and less natural light, and then the chronic diseases of vision come into play as well. But technology like that can certainly liberate us when perhaps we're starting to decline in our abilities.
Well, we're having a great conversation here with John Deal, who heads up the research effort at MIT, and he's also the Senior Vice President of Hartford Funds. We're up against the clock. We've got to take a quick break, but we're going to invite John back to talk with us a little bit more. John, I want you to think about when we get back. I mean, we talked about these three questions, you mentioned, I think, earlier that there's some type of a piece that we might be able to provide to our listeners, and perhaps they can get that through me. Perhaps you can share that with us when we get back, because we'll keep them holding here just so they can learn a little bit more about this. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I don't have
Where do you go for masonry supplies? Linden and Malden Cement Block has been serving North Shore and Boston area homeowners and contractors since 1918. They carry a full line of masonry and hardscape supplies to build or repair your stairs, chimney, foundation, walkway, patio, or retaining wall. Stop by Linden and Malden, located at 636 Lynn Street in Malden, to see their outdoor displays to help spark ideas. Their staff will help you pick out quality materials to do your project the right way. Online, lindenmalden.com, or call 781-324-7777.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody and host of Dollars and Cents. Do you like what you're hearing on today's show? Does our approach to financial planning make sense to you? You answered yes, then I'd like to learn more about your financial goals and objectives. You see, our team at Friedman Financial can help you put your financial house in order and keep your focus on the big picture. Sure, we manage money for you, but if you're like most of our clients, you want someone who provides advice in all areas of your financial life too. Think of us as your rational sounding board for financial questions and direction. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial plan, we're here to help you with the strategies to get you there. For a free initial consultation, call Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Are you tired of the quality of your indoor air system? You can get comfortable air fast with Swampscott Refrigeration, an expert dealer and leading brand. Swampscott Refrigeration will advise you on the best home comfort systems and either repair or upgrade yours. You'll find comfort in knowing that Swampscott Refrigeration has a dynamite maintenance staff too. When you're ready, call the experts at Swampscott Refrigeration, 781-592-1519. That's 781-592-1519. Online, swampscottrefrigeration.com.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We're about halfway through our segment today, and boy, do we have a great show. We've got a great guest. His name is John Deal, who heads up research, the research effort at MIT's Age Lab, and he's also Senior Vice President of Hartford Funds. John joins us on the radio today. Once again, thanks, and welcome, John.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
We're having a great conversation teaching our listeners about some of the great technologies that MIT, that's right, those smart guys in Cambridge, are putting together to help you as seniors, as retirees, as we age, how we can live better and more efficiently. When we last left, John was talking about this very simple piece that MIT has put together that addresses three very simple questions. And I'd like, John, maybe you can tell us again, our listeners, about this again, and then we'll make sure that you can get this piece through our newsletter.
Sure, absolutely. So the piece is called Three Questions That Predict the Future Quality of Life. And it's authored by Dr. Joe Coughlin, who's both the founder and director of the MIT Age Lab. And as I always like to joke with people, remember, the beauty is in simplicity, right? So the simple concepts, the simple questions are, who's going to change your light bulbs, deals with home maintenance issues, whether your home is going to be able to accommodate you as you age, or perhaps it's time to take a critical look at your living space to decide whether it's going to be the home that I'm going to age in, or perhaps I need to start looking at where I do intend to spend my future years. The second question is, how will you get an ice cream cone? And it deals with questions around mobility and access to those things that make life special. Interestingly, Mark, we didn't ask the question, how will you get to your doctor's appointment? Because someone will figure that out. What I want people to think about is, it's a really warm night in July, and all you want to do is go down the road a few miles to enjoy an ice cream cone. If you don't have the ability to drive, the question is, how are you going to be able to access that? Because those small things are the things that make life worth living.
And we all know the ice cream man doesn't come around anymore.
That's right. That's right. And then the last question about your social network is, who do I want to be around? And a couple of tips that I didn't mention before, Mark. One of the things that Joe Coughlin has shared with me is that it's crucially important to integrate younger people into your social network. So as you think about that next phase of your life, thinking about maintaining relationships, be it with former coworkers or perhaps neighbors or someone in your family, because for a couple of reasons. One, mentoring is a very positive psychological thing to participate in, helping someone else through the experiences that you've had across a lifetime. But there's one other really important reason, and that is it almost guarantees that you won't outlive your social network. And I know sometimes people laugh at that, and I'll say, look, you don't want to be the last man standing. You know, you could argue that it beats the alternative, but I would say not if you've ever met someone who has lost all those around them that make life worth living. And so if we put together, put an intentional effort into keeping our relationships kind of varied, both in terms of experiences, but also in terms of age. In fact, this question actually bleeds a little bit into the first question I asked about light bulbs, because I challenge your listeners, if you think about the handymen, the roofers, the carpenters, the plumbers and electricians that perhaps you've relied on for years, just based on the demographics in the country, the question I'd like to ask you is, are you aging out, are those professionals aging out of their professions faster than you're aging out of your need for them? Because let's face it, when you're 82, 83, 85 years old, that's not exactly the best time to be inviting someone that you really don't know and really don't know if you trust into your home to be able to help you with some of these issues. So thinking critically about the services that I'll need, and oftentimes we build an idea of that through experiences that we've had ourselves, either caring for aging parents or perhaps through friends or other family members that have kind of lived through this cycle, that we can say, you know, I remember they had this kind of service or they had this kind of living situation and it made life a lot easier on them. We need to pause a little bit and start to think about some of those circumstances when we consider these three questions.
Well, that's interesting. In fact, now we can make these three questions available to you. This report that you talk about that's called The Three Questions That Predict the Future Quality of Life. John has been kind enough to make this available to all of our listeners. And if you'd like a copy of this report, all you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com, and you can sign up for our newsletter, where all you need to do is just hit the button that says sign up for the newsletter, put in your email address, and in the comments section, just say, I'd like the special report that John talked about it. Now, if you're already a registered subscriber, and there's 6,000 of you that are already registered subscribers to our newsletter, I'd like you to, all you need to do is just drop me an email. My email address is Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. All you need to do, just drop me a quick email, say, hey, send me the report that John talked about, and we will get that report off to you. It's really cool. They've done a lot of great research. The people at MIT, you know, they're really smart, and you might think that all they do is they crunch numbers and talk about all these crazy formulas that I don't think anybody can understand, but sometimes they just make it really simple, and I think this piece is incredibly important. So thanks for sharing that with us, John.
Absolutely, Mark.
The other thing that I want to remind everybody else about again is our weekly newsletter. Like I said, it's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday morning. Now, it's delivered directly to your email box. It comes out 10:30 Eastern time if you're on the Eastern Seaboard. Of course, I know some people are listening to us via podcasts all around the world, actually. In fact, I just found out that we have a subscriber in Australia who turns in and listens to our show. So you won't be getting it at 10:30 in the morning if you're listening in Australia. But all you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Click on the button that says sign up for our newsletter. Put in your email address. Let us know how you heard about the show. If you got a question for me, if you want to yell at me, you want to give me some positive feedback, you want to let us know what you think of John. Yeah, give him the feedback. Let him know what you think of this whole thing. Just hit the go button and you'll be all set and registered for our newsletter for the upcoming Friday. You know, one of the other things where we happen to be so fortunate to be so close to MIT, it's just in Cambridge. Joe Coughlin, that runs the research facility there, oftentimes has focus groups and opportunities to interview and meet with seniors, those that are approaching their senior years. And John, maybe you can tell us about some of the focus groups, some of the things that Joe does, and how people could get involved.
Well, sure. Thanks, Mark. And yes, knowing that I was coming on your show, I actually had a conversation with Joe Coughlin about whether there was a way that, you know, any listener who might be interested in volunteering for some of their experiments, should I call them victims or should I call them volunteers, right?
He only videotapes you, so, you know, we'll all know it.
Right. So, you know, if you could see yourself driving Miss Daisy or one of her equivalents around the Boston streets as MIT is collecting data on you, you can sign up for those kind of experiments on the AgeLabs website. And that website is AgeLab, A-G-E-L-A-B, all one word, .mit.edu. Again, so it's AgeLab.mit.edu. And on their site, you can actually see a lot of the interesting experiments and things like that are going on, but you could also sign up. And again, whenever research like this is done, there's a certain amount of information about you they may need to get, so that if they're looking to create a certain population of for the experiment, they're able to qualify that. But yeah, those experiments could, you know, they could deal with decision making. They could deal with, you know, sitting down at a computer terminal, and all you have to do most of the time is do what you would normally do. That's really what they're interested in studying. However, you'll have to do it perhaps hooked up to some equipment, or knowing that in some ways you're being observed, or perhaps they'll be asking you questions as you're going through some of these experiments. But they're actually very, very interesting. And Mark, what I find is I just love working with those folks, because you know, at the other end of the experimentation and at the other end of the technologies, someone is going to benefit down the line from the work that they're doing. You asked about some of the innovative technologies and things that I've seen there. I think one of the really, really interesting ones I saw was kind of a new frontier, if you will. It's in robotics, and it's a medical therapeutic robot. The name of this robot that was developed by an associate of the AgeLab is called Paro, P-A-R-O.
That's that furry little animal, right?
It was, yes. It's a baby seal.
Yeah.
But it's actually a $6,000 robot that looks like a baby seal, and its use is it tends to help calm patients down who are in advanced stages of dementia and Alzheimer's, because for families who have suffered with that disease, there's a condition known as sundowning or sunsetting, where about the time the sun goes down every day, You can find that patients who are normally pretty calm and docile become very agitated, maybe even aggressive. And one of the things that is thought to help them in that is pet therapy. But it's very difficult to have a pet on the wing of the advanced Alzheimer's ward. And so, perhaps by creating this robot, which is loaded with sensors, it will learn what your voice sounds like. It learns what you look like. It endears itself to you. It gives these patients something to care for and care about. And it has been shown, at least in early studies, some studies, to actually be very helpful in helping these clients cope with some of those aspects of Alzheimer's disease. So like I said, at the far end of these technologies and experiments is really a better future for those of us who are aging into these areas where we haven't been before.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to hold this Paro doll or whatever we call it. It's a soft, furry seal. And it's amazing how lifelike it feels as you're petting the top of it. It kind of begins to move and settle into your arms, and the eyes kind of look back at you. And it's really amazing what they've been able to do with this technology. And there's lots more of it. And, John, if you have the time, mind sticking around for one more segment or our final segment with us?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Right. One of the things I want to ask you about in the final thing is when I've gone to the Age Lab, they have this thing called Agnes. And she's this creature, this person that they've redeveloped. You can tell the audience all about what Agnes is, what she does, what she's designed to do. When we get back, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Are you facing critical decisions that could impact your retirement income? Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial, and since 1968, we've been providing comprehensive financial planning and investment advice to individuals residing on the North Shore and throughout the Merrimack Valley. We can help you plan for the retirement of your dreams. Call me today at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Don't have enough time to go to the gym? Grab your phone and download BenchBro, the hottest finger-tapping fitness app.
With BenchBro, you'll test your reflexes, your concentration, and your finger-tapping skills as BenchBro helps you achieve your virtual dream physique.
This is a fitness resolution you can finally keep. Download our free app, BenchBro, today.
BenchBro.
Available on the App Store
and Google Play.
No membership required.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are in our last and final segment of this Sunday show, and boy, have we got a good one. We've got a great guest here in the show today. His name is John Deal. He's the Senior Vice President at Hartford Funds. He's been there 27 years. But John also heads up the research effort at MIT's Age Lab. This is this really cool section of MIT where a bunch of smart people get together and they think about what technologies do we need to develop for this growing population of seniors. Look, we know we're all living a lot longer. We don't die at 65 like many people thought was going to happen when Social Security was established back in 1935. We're living a lot longer. Look, you know people who are 90, you know people who are 100, and you even know people who are 80 and 90 who are doing great. But as we get older, there are ailments. Look, as I turned 40, I think I started needing reading glasses. And everyone says aging stinks. And you know what? Things start to ache and pain, and we have to make different types of adjustments to the way we walk, to the way we move, to the way that we speak, the way we react to things. And the Age Lab has lined it all up so that they can understand who we are, how people age and what technologies are needed. So with us on the phone today is John Diehl, Senior Vice President at the Hartford Funds, who heads up the research effort at the MIT Age Lab. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mark. Good to be back.
And one of the things when we last left off, I told the listeners that we were going to talk about this really cool, I guess, doll, figurine, mannequin, whatever we call it, that's in the Age Lab. Her name is Agnes. And perhaps you can tell our listeners what Agnes is, what she does, how she works, all that stuff.
Sure. So Agnes, I think, is kind of the mascot, if you will, for the MIT Age Lab. And what Agnes is actually a suit. And as I describe it, it doesn't matter how old you are. This suit has been designed by MIT's engineers, along with students from, you know, medical science, so on and so forth. And really, the purpose of the suit is that regardless of your age, you could get into the suit, and it comes with belts and weights and gloves and boots and glasses, goggles, if you will. The purpose is to simulate what would it feel like to be 80, 85, 90 years old. We call it Agnes. The actual, you know, lots of things at the MIT Age Lab are an acronym. And so Agnes stands for Age Gain Now Empathy System. And it's funny when I share this with groups of clients and I'll say, look, you know, we can simulate pretty much what it would feel like to be 80, 85, 90 years old, from pain in the joints to restricted movements to loss of vision due to typical vision impairments like macular degeneration or glaucoma or whatever it might be. And everybody starts groaning. And I say, I know, you know, you're probably wondering who in their right mind would want to wear a suit like this. Well, imagine if you were a management team from a major American retailer and you were concerned about whether your stores were laid out in a fashion that was accommodative to an aging generation. Or let's say you were a mutual fund company like the Hartford Funds and you were concerned about creating an ideal customer experience. Like, what good would it be to create educational brochures and the like if it was very, very difficult to read and to read the colors in which those brochures were created? Well, actually, by being able to simulate this, we can give people in the businesses the same exact feeling, or someone that isn't at that age yet, the same exact feeling of what we may be able to do, what we may be dealing with, so that the products and technologies and environments of the future can be envisioned. And this goes all the way, Mark, to helping financial advisors think about the office layout design of the meeting space where they would come to meet with their financial advisor. And so, yes, it has repercussions all across society. And what happens is you may see changes in those environments without even realizing why the environment is changing. But these cutting-edge companies are really looking at the kind of things that they need to do to create the ideal customer experience. And taking part in an Agnes experiment would certainly give some great insight to that.
You know, both Marion and I actually had the opportunity to wear some of that Agnes material when we were at the Age Lab, and it made us think about what we do in our office and how we communicate with our clients. And we ended up going back, this was several years ago, we ended up making a decision in our office where we've changed the font size on the letters that we use to write letters to clients. We've also taken our website and created a system where people can increase the font size on our website. So if they have a difficult time reading what's initially presented, all they have to do is go to the upper right-hand corner. There's three letters, letter A's, each that are a little bit larger than the next, and they can really upgrade and emphasize what they want to see so they can see it better. We were thoughtful about the color layout that we put on there as well. And that's one of the things that I think we as financial planners here at our office at Friedman Financial have really designed for our clients and those that seek to do business with us, is that our relationship, as most people know now, is so far more than just picking out the right investment for you. It's about planning for your future and being able to give you the resources and the tools that are necessary so that you can live the lifestyle that you want, so you can achieve the retirement that you had hoped in the most comfortable possible manner. Sometimes that means creating systems, creating living environments that work better for you, driving arrangements, building better relationships with your clients, having better communications. And we rely on places like the Age Lab. We rely on places like the Hartford Funds, who puts together these types of relationships with the MIT Age Lab and so many others, so that we can make that maximum experience for you. And that's why we love so much having guests on our show like John, who heads up the research effort over at MIT's Age Lab. And he also represents the Hartford Funds, to really get us to think about how money and aging are so ideally connected. Now, John, I want to have you remind our audience again about how some of our listeners could become part of some of the AgeLab studies if they'd like. If they'd like to learn more about what's going on over there and how they can get more access and information to being part of this program.
Sure. So they could visit the AgeLab's website at AgeLab, all one word, agelab.mit.edu. And on there, they would be able to see some of the different things that are going on at the lab, but also to offer their information as a potential study volunteer if they'd be so apt. And, Mark, I think you described it perfectly. I mean, at Hartford Funds, what we really think about is what we call human-centric investing, which means that investments really are more than just about the numbers. It really is about the quality of life and what we intend for that wealth to do. In fact, we always say our benchmark is the investor. And so it's about the total experience. And I'm glad to hear about some of the things that you've incorporated into your business model. Because, again, when we think about creating an enjoyable experience, these are the kind of things that we're going to need to think about as America grows older.
Yeah, and, you know, some of the other things that I think that we see in our office, and granted, we've been doing this a long time. My father started the firm in 1968. As a result, we end up experiencing a death a month in our office. Now, it's a big number, of course, but when you've been doing this for as long as we've been doing it, we're used to that transition, the conversations, the emotions, all of the uncertainty that goes along with the transference of assets from one spouse to another and sometimes from one generation to another. And so we're really good at facilitating those conversations around that. We're really good about helping clients understand what happens when it's time to actually apply for long-term care benefits. You might have purchased long-term care insurance years ago, but what happens when you actually need to use those and file that benefit paperwork? What happens when you need to file a life insurance claim form when it's time to collect? How do you communicate with the nursing home? How do you communicate with Social Security? How do you change the deed on your house? All of those things are issues that we're helping our clients with as they're aging, as they're moving forward with that next phase in their life, and sometimes it is alone. And some of the work that the AgeLab is doing is really trying to help people understand how to prepare for that. Now, one of the things that I noticed when I was at the AgeLab was these shoes, and I don't know if you know much about the shoes, perhaps you can talk about it a bit, was about how when you see people that are older, they start walking around and they start being very, very delicate as they take step by step by step, perhaps worrying whether they're going to slip, whether it's going to hurt the bottoms of their feet. John, do you know anything about these shoes that they were working on at the AgeLab?
Well, there's a couple different shoes that shoes can do a couple of different things. One is they simulate neuropathy in the feet, so they begin to help us. It's not just balance that may be affected as we age. A lot of times it's that we lose feeling in our feet, and it makes our steps a little bit more sure. So that would be one area. But the other area they're working on is, you know, if there is, let's say, Alzheimer's disease, for example, and wandering because it becomes a major issue with clients, is there a way that GPS technology could help us in helping to keep a track of where people are going, so we can give them some freedom but not worry about them getting lost or getting themselves into a dangerous situation? So all of those kind of things, even I guess they would classify that, Mark, as wearable technologies. I know many of us wear a Fitbit on our hands to track steps and
right,
so on and so forth, but wearable technologies are another area. Again, what devices might I be able to wear or might I be able to employ so that not only medical conditions, think about it, in years past, we had to wait for a medical event to occur and then we would react to it. We waited until a stroke occurred and then we would hopefully get in there as quick as we can to remedy things so that it wouldn't have long-term consequences. But perhaps the new technologies can discover the clues to a medical event happening before we actually even get there. So maybe they could head that off in advance. And it seems to me like much of medical technology, be it in the genomics area or be it in the area of medical devices, is trying to anticipate these medical needs versus simply just react to them.
Well, I want to thank my guest, John Deal, who's Senior Vice President at Hartford Funds and also heads up the research effort over at the MIT AgeLab, for being my guest today. What a great conversation we've had. I hope our listeners have learned a lot and realized that there's a lot of technology, a lot of people thinking about how to serve the retiring and aging community better with the proper technologies, with the proper features, the proper tools to give you a better quality of life. And I will tell you this, if you want access to these growing technologies, you know what you need to be able to have access to them? Money. And that's one of the things, I mean, healthcare costs are one of those items that are skyrocketing for everybody, but those that have the resources, those that have the tools to be able to get access to the very best technologies that are available, the newest technologies, you're going to have access to that, and it's going to be available to you. So my encouragement to you is to plan appropriately, to work with a certified financial planner professional in your community. Find someone that understands so much more about your life than the investments that you own or what the right asset allocation might be. That is just a mere slice in the overall pie that is your financial planning life, that is your entire retirement lifestyle. And I want to wish you the very, very best on this Sunday. I want to remind you one more time about our newsletter that comes out each and every Friday morning. You can have it delivered directly to your inbox at 10:30 in the morning, right to your inbox by going to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Just go to the website, put in your email address, let us know how you heard about us. If you'd like that report that John talked about, which is called The Three Questions That Predict the Future of Quality of Life, drop that in the message. If you're already a subscriber to the newsletter, just drop me an email, Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's going to do it for us for today. I want to thank John Deal once again. John, thanks so much for being part of the show.
My pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
And we will be back next Sunday with more Dollars and Cents financial advice in a language you can understand. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.